Harsha?
44.
Okay. So I have to say that this may end up being confusing. I hope it's not. I hope I got it straight and can present it well. But if you do get lost at some point or bored, either way, at the end I'll bring you back into it because there's some nice things at the end that I think people will like. Achimos and Kedoshim. So the easy thing to do when you're dealing with Achimos and Kedoshim is basically to jump to all of the big hits that are in Kedoshim. Kedoshim Perek Yates, chapter 19, is possibly the most popular halachic perek in the entire Torah. It's got V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, lo sisnas achicha bilavavecha. It's all these really nice psukim. But I wanted to do something from the beginning of that perek, which gets less play, certainly, and that is the instruction regarding bringing a karban shlamim. What does one bring a karban shlamim for? She already gave an answer. If she did b'chdei she asked, you can't give her a hard time for her. So, a karban shlamim is. It could be after that, but not as a halachic requirement. A karban shlamim is a celebration karban. It is a happy karban. Example of that, the karban chagiga that one brings when you go to the Beis HaMikdash for Aliyah L'Regel. I think we talked about it before Pesach. I think came up in the pre-Pesach shir that the karban chagiga is what people eat before the karban Pesach. So they fill up and then they eat the karban Pesach when they're full. So the karban chagiga is a form of karban shlamim. The karban todah, which one brings to thank Hashem for particular things. Today, that's Berachas HaGomel. So the karban todah is a form of shlamim. A shlamim is shared. Part of it goes on the Mizbeach, part of it the Kohanim eat, and part of it the people bringing the karban eat. So everybody gets to participate in whatever it is that you're celebrating. And my question comes from source number one, the psukim in Parshas Kedoshim, which says, when you shecht a karban shlamim for Hashem, shecht it for your will. In the Hebrew, it would be lirtzonchem tizbachuhu. Lirtzonchem, your ratzon, tizbachuhu. You shall slaughter it. And then it goes on to give you the rules. So it says that you can eat the karban shlamim that day. You can eat the karban shlamim that night and into the next day, and then whatever remains by the time you hit day three is going to have to be burned. That's the rule of the karban shlamim. So leaving aside the rest of it, because I don't think we need the rest of it for this, my question that I want to ask here is, what does that mean when we're told bring it lirtzon chem for your will? What exactly is the pasuk trying to say? And especially when, in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, we were told about the Karban Ola. Karban Ola is burned entirely on the Mizbeach. We were told also to bring that Lirtzon Chem, I think was the wording. It was something similar like that. It's willingly that you're supposed to, bring it. It's actually going to get repeated in Vayikra Chav Beis. We're going to see it here for the Shlamim, and then for the Todah, which is a form of the Shlamim, it'll show up again in Parshas Emor. What exactly is this? What is this business of bringing it because you want to, per your desire? What is that about, and what are we supposed to learn from there? So I would argue that it is a template for how a Jew serves Hashem throughout religious life, but there are two different schools as to what the ratzon is that we're talking about. School number one is the approach of, it seems, the Gemara. School number two is really Ramban, which is odd to pit Ramban against the Gemara, but what am I supposed to do? The way the Gemara reads it is that lirtzon chem means, literally, for your desire, because you want to do it. So as an example of that, the Gemara in Zvachim, which I brought you in source number two, I'm not going to read it out, talks about somebody who brings the karban without thinking about what they're doing. It's called misasek. They're just doing it. They're not really thinking about it, and says it doesn't work. It's not a valid karban if you do that. The Gemara in Menachos in source number 4 says that don't bring the karban thinking that you're doing it because of me. You're doing it because you want to bring a karban. Only bring the karban liritzonchem, when you feel like you want to bring the karban. Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor, one of the Balei Atosos actually, in source number 5, says it means don't be stingy about it. Do it generously, like something that you'd want to do. That's all one school of thought. The other school of thought, which Ramban brings, is that liritzonchem means in order for it to be Hashem's ratzon for you. In other words, bring it intending for Hashem to accept you. Bring it in a way that will cause Hashem to have ratzon for you, or the ratzon lachem. You could read it as the. You follow?
Yeah.
If you take a look at Ramban, I brought it for you in number 6. He says, when you shecht for God, do not shecht for Him other than for your desire, meaning your service should be desirable before Hashem, and He should desire you. Don't serve the great Hashem, God, in order to receive a prize, but in order to fulfill His will, for His will alone is what is appropriate and binding. You're doing it because you want to satisfy what Hashem wants.
Was the desire there as strong as by the Chetega?
What do you mean?
Meaning, like, they needed, sacrifice was very common. It was a thing. They naturally had to do it. They needed something to do, but was that desire to do it as strong in the time of the base coming up? Did it weaken a little bit?
Oh. It's an interesting question. We don't know of it weakening. Where we do find that idea is in the time of Ezra, in the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, where the Gemara in Yuma describes how and it's based on Psukim in Ezra and Nehemiah, how the people ask Hashem to remove the Yetzer for Avodah Zarah. And without making a long story short, they succeed, and Hashem removes the great Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah that they had. And then they say we should also remove the Yetzer Hara for Arayos, for immorality. And that turns out to be a bad idea, because then there are no eggs. And what the Gemara is trying to say, among other things, is that there's no such thing as an evil inclination. It doesn't work that way. There is an inclination for a particular type of behavior, which, if uncontrolled, will be going for the bad, but can be controlled and used for the good. So what they're saying regarding immorality is there's a desire that people have to engage in a procreative act, and if you try to take away the strength of the desire for arayos, you will end up taking away the desire for it also in a good way, and that's, the birds are not laying eggs. Applying that back now to Avodah Zarah, that means that the desire for Avodah Zarah is a desire for Avodah. It's a desire to serve. And when you take away the desire for idolatry, you also take away the desire for serving Hashem. Exactly. And so there is this idea that's much written about that suggests that at that point it becomes harder for people to actually do that. But that's the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. Yeah. So going back towards this, what we're saying is bring your karban either because you want to, so do it thoughtfully, do it willingly, do it generously, or do it with intent that Hashem should want it. Not with intent for reward, but with intent that it should be what Hashem wants of you. Why specifically say it regarding the Shlamim? So Rav Shimshon Nafal Hirsch takes the first approach. He says, for your desire means you wanting it. And he says, and I brought it for you in number 7, that the idea is that you should learn to dedicate your pursuit of pleasure towards spiritual purposes. Your desire, in this case you're going to get to eat from the karban, right, should be dedicated in a spiritual way, bringing a karban to Hashem. That's the way that he reads it. Whereas Abarbanel reads it as, no, do it in a way that it will satisfy Hashem's desire, and it's specifically the karban shlamim. Because the karban shlamim is something you're bringing voluntarily. And I might have thought, if I can bring it voluntarily, I can do whatever I want. I can do it my way. I don't need to do it God's way. And what it's teaching me is, no, do it in the way that Hashem will be satisfied with. Follow the rules that Hashem is giving you, like eat it this way and not that way, and this place and not that place, and so on. That's the way that he reads it. So So either this is, again, go back to the major split, either it's about doing it the way the Hashem saying, do it when you want to, and dedicate your enjoyment that you're going to get from it towards spiritual purposes, or it's doing the do it as the will of Hashem. That's what you're supposed to be doing, is bringing this carbon as the will of Hashem. And even though you're doing something that is voluntary, do it as the will of Hashem. I'm skipping some of the sources because I realize there's too much here, and otherwise the whole thing will be lost if I try to throw in too much. But I wanted to show you the two things at the end, because I knew that this was not such an easy one to follow, but the two things at the end people are going to like, I think. So number 10 is from the Noam Elimelech. The Noam Elimelech, Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk, says, we have a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which says, Batel Ritzoncha Mipnei Ritzono. Right? You should cancel what you want in favor of what Hashem wants. Kidei Sheyivatel Ritzono Mipnei Ritzoncha, so that he will cancel what he wants in favor of what you want. You have to be willing to put God's wishes first, and then Hashem will put your wishes first. So if you take a look at what Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk does with this, he says, you really need to actually go back to the Pasuk really to see it better, but when you shecht a shlamim before Hashem, lirtzonchem tizbachuhu, shecht your ratzon, shecht your will, is the way that he reads it. It's Hasidish, it's not Pshat. He says, Lirtzonchem tizbachu, shecht your ratzon, shecht your will, is what the Pasuk is saying. You follow?
Yeah.
That's one idea that I thought was very interesting. Again, not Pshat, but easier to remember than the 10-minute Dvar Torah that I gave first.
Shecht your bad will, not all your will.
So I don't think he would distinguish, because he would say the point is adopt what Hashem wants of you, which is your, the good part. You know, so what do you end up shechting is the part that Hashem wouldn't want. I think he would look at it as cancel your judgment of what's good and bad and accept Hashem's judgment of. I think that's what he would say. The Netziv reads it differently, in a quasi-Hasidish read as well, even though he was as Litvish could be. Nonetheless, the Netziv says you're reading the Pasuk wrong. I don't think he really believes everybody's reading it wrong, but he says, you're reading it as a command, right? When you bring this karban, bring it willingly, right? Bring it lirtzonchem, either your will, God's will. He says, no, it's a promise. When you bring a karban shlamim to Hashem, it will be l'ratzon lachem. I will desire it. When you bring a shlamim to me, when you want to bring a karban shlamim, and specifically he notes, the Gemara talks about the shlamim, I think it's a Gemara, it's either Medrash, that shlamim is meant to bring shalom in this world and shalom up in Shamayim. So when you bring a karban shlamim in the heavens and on earth, then it will be lirtzonchem, Hashem will make your will successful, that there will be shalom. You follow? When you bring this, it's a promise, it will be lirtzonchem, your desire will succeed. Clear?
Yeah.
Hopefully? Okay. Thank you.